Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. Today, however, we are broadcasting live from Nagoya, Japan, where I've been giving a series of presentations on UFOs and extraterrestrial life beyond this planet in Nagoya, Tokyo, Kamakura, and Osaka. And tonight I'll be giving a presentation in Osaka, Japan, and if you are in the area, please stop by. I would love to meet you. You can find out more details by simply emailing me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or jsetti@events.com. Out of This World Radio focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of my program is to raise consciousness and to make this world a much better and far happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we'll do it. We'll make this planet a much better place. Out of This World Radio is the fastest growing spiritual and metaphysical radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries, and I guarantee today's show will be really out of this world. Last night, during a presentation in Nagoya, Japan, I did a very special healing ceremony with Ambassador Trillian of the Galactic Alliance, in which we all asked for their help in cleaning up the radiation at Fukushima and protecting the children and adults who live there. The wonderful message I received last night from the Galactic Alliance was that after we made the request, they actually did come in and clean up the radiation in and around Fukushima as well as in and around Japan. They said that if we were to take a radiation reading now around Fukushima, that the radiation had really been cleaned up. They also said that with this just one cleaning, that Fukushima had been more clean now than in the 4 years since the nuclear disaster in March 2011. With that, as a follow-up, I'd like to ask my many listeners around the world to send love and light to the children and people of Fukushima, as well as to the wonderful Emoto Peace Project, and asking the Galactic Alliance to step in again and do some more cleaning. This is a prayer that Dr. Masaru Emoto used to do for cleaning up Fukushima, and I'd really appreciate it if you could please repeat this prayer with me 3 times. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. Again, please repeat, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. And again, for the last time, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. I want to thank everyone so much for your support. Out of This World Radio is supported, listeners supported, a nonprofit program. And if you'd like to donate to help us keep us on the air, please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on the PayPal tab. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better and much happier place. Before we go on today's wonderful guests, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voids Bookstore in Tacoma, Washington, and Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. In addition, I'd like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carolst, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who helped me start my program, my dear friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Dio Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasuo Nemoto of the Emoto Peace Project in the Emoto office in Tokyo, Japan, my great friends at the Galactic Alliance who have been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my sound engineers Rachel and Eric, and my station manager Eric Krima, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. Quickly, I just wanted to also tell you I've started a new spiritual mentoring program. If people would like spiritual guidance, I'd love to help them out. I've been in touch with the other side for the past 21 years, and my accuracy rate for readings is very high. I can help with relationships, past lives, career choices, and contacting friends and family who've passed on. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I can also be reached in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free within North America, both the U.S. and Canada, at 1-888-879-8339. Today's program is really special. We'll be talking to Greg Sullivan here in just a few minutes of the Japanese Center for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, followed by a wonderful lady named Ariana, and another psychic named Kyle, her friend, Kyle Matthews, will be talking about the messages that they've received from benevolent extraterrestrials in helping to make this world a better place. You can also If you're online, you can always listen to us live at www.1150kknw.com. And after the show, you can always listen to us at outoftheworld1150.com and clicking on any one of our guests. Now I'd like to go on to my guest here, Greg Sullivan. He's with me here in Nagoya, Japan. It's early in the morning, and I just want to thank Greg for getting me this huge gallon of coffee, which I'm drinking now to wake up. It's Saturday morning here in Japan. It's a little bit after 7 a.m., and I know it's funny about time change, the world, isn't it? But it's Saturday here, and I know it's Friday afternoon in Seattle. Greg is a professional sound engineer and freelance writer. Who's lived in Japan since 2003. He coordinates what's called JSETI, the Japanese Center for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, a wonderful research organization that's currently working to expand awareness about positive human values, ET disclosure, and benevolent ET contact in Japan. He's been active in Japanese TV and print media for more than 10 years. He regularly leads people to from Japan and all over the world to the famous ESETI UFO ranch in Washington State, which that's managed by James Gillian. I've been down there. I met that's where I met Greg when I was down there before, and it's just he's an incredible fellow. And JSETI can be reached at www.jceti.org, and you can also contact him at info@jceti.org. Greg, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Ted. Thanks a million for having me. Great to be back on. And we're here in Nagoya, but last night was really fabulous. Thank you for the thank you for coming again. And we'll talk about several aspects of our trip here this time, your trip this time, and then what we're doing in Japan as well. I wanted to just add my comment to the actual results of that ceremony we did last night. As we got in the car, you remember going to the after party, going to dinner after the event, I opened my phone up to see that a good friend of mine from New York at home had seen some sort of ship activity. This was a friend who knew my home. Still pretty skeptical. And out of nowhere, he called me. He's a real busy guy. And called me, left a few messages on Skype and voicemail, and went way out of his way to send a whole mail saying, I really think I saw it this time. You know, it's like that was another. And the higher dimensional beings are really starting to pull out all the stops. And there's a lot of people who've been teetering on the fence, as he was, but they're primed for the next phase. That was another message we got on the way to the hall yesterday. Next stage. It's been a real busy 2015. Great to meet you, and we'll talk about how we met a little later. But I just wanted to preface and give everyone a quick background about what JSETI is. And we just had our 50th anniversary this summer in July. I came here first in 2000, and was just a backpacker at first, and I was, I wanted to live abroad, and I did the standard kind of expat thing in Japan, teaching English, and I fell in with a lot of what turned out to be soul family, a lot of past life connections here, and it was just easy to be here from the get-go. So I kind of look at my first five years here as sort of a preparation for what this project was to become, so it's been quite a journey.
Well, Greg, I am so happy you could be on with me today in today's show. There's so many wonderful people here in Japan, and we know so little of it in the United States. What goes on overseas, especially in this beautiful country here? I wanted to ask you. Now, you lead groups of people here in Japan to see UFOs. Is that right?
Yeah, in Japan. Yeah.
In Japan, that's right. Could you tell me a little bit about that? I think that's an incredible story.
Yeah, certainly. I was here. My awakening process really kicked into high gear here while I was living in Tokyo, working as an engineer. I was working, finally getting to my dream, which was to be an engineer in Japan at the same time, living here at the same time. And it's all, there's been a lot of guidance from behind the scenes along the way, but right now we currently we're a full-time event ET contact event group, and our events go from, we've been literally from Hokkaido all the way to Okinawa and back again. I don't do a lot of our main thrust of our project is outdoor, you know, contact events. We use things like the CE5 protocol, other kinds of ascension type of techniques, and we've done every kind of contact event you can imagine. I think we're one of the most active groups in the world, thanks to, you know, how much potential the Japanese people have, and you know, as you felt, they're very thirsty for the truth. So it's been time, and we went full time after 3/11. It was quite a. Well, 3/11 is the Fukushima disaster. So we were right after that. We went full time. I had my first book come out, and I had initially planned to do a an online interview site as well as Jay Seti, but our guidance made it very clear that it was time that you know, someone needed to be on the ground here full time doing this. Another part of our, well, I always describe that Jay Seti has you know, we do the contact events. So we're out in the countryside a lot. I get to meet all the wonderful people around in every prefecture of Japan. You know, they have the Alps here. There's so many nooks and crannies for that are great contact locations. Okinawa, the islands of Okinawa, and just how that's like Hawaii, you know, being in Hawaii. And then, of course, you know, all the other suburban areas and rural areas we go through. And at the same time, we've also had a lot of contact with the spiritual media here, as well as the mass media. I was on, like, literally the Oprah Winfrey of Japan. You know, we've had a couple shows that have literally been arranged on high, so to speak, where Easy Contact was viewed by hundreds, you know, nationwide. As well as influencing and interacting with a lot of other groups that are, you know, both spiritual related and non-spiritual related. So the stops are being pulled out, and it's the folks here in Japan are getting a very direct blast of this higher dimensional consciousness. We're just kind of facilitating that process here on the ground.
Well, that's great, Greg. Thanks so much for sharing that. Now, you have a special program. You're going off to a mountain tomorrow, is that right, in Japan? For you, but you said that, I remember we were talking off air earlier, and you said that you've been directed to this particular spot in Japan where you the benevolent extraterrestrials said that they would show up, or at least show their craft, show up in the sky to you.
Yes, tomorrow we're going to be out in Shikoku, which is the island that you know, has a lot of temple lover. You know, there's a temple series of 88 temples around the island. It's one of the smaller main islands of Japan, you know, there are a lot of the contact events we do end up tying into the kind of Shinto network of power spots or holy spots here, or and this is certainly one of them. A lot of these places have kind of unseen guards attached to them, or they're just the timing that we're asked to go there or guided to go there is sort of is arranged and kind of outside of our control. So this was sort of in a really. So this is one of those events that just kind of came together, and we got the, you know, sometimes those that guidance comes through people asking us to go there, or actual participants themselves in the area. So this was one of those cases where we got the message that was very clear that before their climbing hiking season ended, we needed to get up there. It's a place in Tokushima Prefecture, and it's a very remote location. It has a cable car near up to that goes up to the top, near the top. But we're going to be out in a mountain lodge, and yeah, it should be a great location for contact. Yeah. So we've you know, there's we've tried to keep the locations accessible. Actually, the day before you came to Nagoya, I was out in scouting a location. And oftentimes I just get a vague impression at first, and we got off the highway and kind of you know, hop, step, and a jump, and we got some information from some locals. We found a couple spots that were just so, and by the end of the evening, by nightfall, we had found an excellent research location and field location. So we'll be there later this month as well.
part of the shows today, I also want to focus in on Fukushima, which has been a very tragic event here in Japan. They call it 311 to
9/11,
or actually it's like the U.S. 9/11. They call it 311, which was refers to the time it happened, which was in March of 2011. And but for people interested in the field, the radiation has been significantly cleaned up, I know, by the Galactic Alliance, and actually they stepped in last night and did some cleaning after we requested it. That's why I did my prayer at the beginning of this hour, and I know that they are helping. You know, I think that there's too much invested in this planet to let us commit suicide with an event like Fukushima, especially since most of the governments in the world are ignoring it, the media is ignoring it, and nothing is being done from that end. And I think the help that is needed to help the people of Fukushima and the world to make this place to clean Fukushima up is not by asking the governments to help step in, because they're actually doing nothing. Instead, asking the people from the bottom up to make the changes necessary to clean up Fukushima. The Galactic Alliance has already said that they are stepping in to clean it up. And what's significant is that after 9/11, the timeline, as I understand it from my friends off planet, actually changed. Before that time, we were headed, I think, on a path toward some very significant disasters, including a possible World War III. But I think that scenario has changed since then, where the Galactic Alliance and other benevolent extraterrestrials have actually stepped in and changed the timeline so that we are now, instead of having disaster looking forward to, we have a very benevolent future. And I think it's important for people to know that Greg is one of the pioneering people here in Japan, raising consciousness as to life beyond this planet.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for that. Yeah, it is interesting with the speaking of areas of we've done contact work in the Tohoku region, which is the northern area north of Tokyo, which includes Fukushima Prefecture, was an area we had never been to in the first 4 years of J-City. Last year, that changed, and as I've mentioned in a couple other interviews, Japan really is in the UFO scene here, and the disclosure scene is almost non-existent. It's 10 to 15 years behind the average understanding of the subject in the Western world, which is partially it's an unfortunate situation, but it also it's proved to be a help in what we're doing here, because people are, as you felt the last two couple lectures you did here, people are real thirsty for the information, and their process is much faster because of that. So we were guided. We went to Sendai, which the whole train station was shut down because of the earthquake, and we did a major screening of the film Sirius there, Dr. Greer's film, and that was kind of an override. That was tied into a contact event. There's also a volcano. I don't know if many people in the West have heard about. There's a volcano right near Sendai called Zao that's been triggered. That's had some increased activity and they almost closed down the observatory. So we had a series of four events in total last year, including the screenings that were, Skype just closed, that were again, it was just time to do it. And, we were able to do some major clearing work out there in the field and had some really amazing contact in Fukushima itself. And part of that, that area actually has a karmic into it that most people don't know about. There was a lot of battles and a lot of tribes warring in the 1700s and before. The clearing of a lot of those deceased spirits in the area was something we were asked to do. So that was sort of releasing this lower astral bonds there too. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of light workers and Japanese folks have gone through the area and cleaned up. I was also at a person's house very close to a highly affected area in called Iwaki City, and quite frankly, it was tangible, the radiation near the station. I could feel it, and almost I could taste that kind of change in the atmosphere in my mouth almost when I was there. I was just there for a day and a half, but A lovely family that put us up, and their daughter was a very advanced light worker there. And when I spent the night there, I felt a lot of those deceased souls from the Fukushima event come through, and were hoping to be released. So we tried to do some clearings there, and in the area I did asked the ETs to come in and open up a portal and take those spirits through to a higher level. So that happened. We haven't been back there this year, but we know that the craft are in. You know, there's a tunnel that you kind of cross through a certain line on the express train from Tokyo, and it almost feels like that whole area is in this bubble shield, like a protective shield, an interdimensional shield. And I felt the presence of that really mother goddess energy there, big time. You know, the Mother Mary energy, and also Kuan Yin. You know, kind of they call her Kan, the goddess of mercy here. So there's some really super intense support from the higher dimensions there right now. I heard just a guy click out. Is it used to learn?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much, Greg, for sharing that. That's just amazing. I know that we're co-creators with the universe for creating this much better planet. So, and I appreciate you so much for sharing that as well. One of the things I wanted to mention is that this has been an important lesson, I think, for all of humanity, to know that we've got friends off planet who are stepping in to help us, and we're not going to end up in any kind of third world war, and many people will not be dying from the radiation of Fukushima simply because the Galactic Alliance has stepped in to clean it up. And I know that up until about a year and a half ago, there was a huge plume of radiation coming directly from Fukushima to the U.S. West Coast. It was headed right for Seattle, and a lot of scientists in the United States were very rightly concerned about that. So back in about April and May of last year, I went out and did testing of the waters off the Pacific Ocean, off of Seattle. And when I got the test results back, it showed that there was absolutely no radiation there. And what had happened is that even though there was this tremendous amount of radiation in March coming to the West Coast, U.S. West Coast, within a month after that, the first measurements came in March, the radiation had completely disappeared. And that was because I'm told that the Galactic Alliance had stepped in to clean it up. Now, you didn't find this in the major media, because I think much of the major media wants to keep all of us in fear. But Governor Brown, to his credit in California, in Sacramento, did issue a press release saying that all the radiation had disappeared off the California coast. He issued that press release in May or June of 2014. What's interesting is that the media is so controlled in the United States that press release did not go beyond the borders of California. In other words, if you were living in California at the time last year, you would have heard that on California radio and television and newspapers. But beyond the borders of California, media is so tightly controlled in the United States, nothing was heard in, for example, Seattle, New York, Chicago, Miami. No place outside of California was that information heard, and which is really a shame, because we do have friends that are stepping in, and we are getting in help with Fukushima and a lot of other things on this planet. For those who are just tuning in, I want to tell everyone that you're listening to Out of This World Radio with a live broadcast today from Nagoya, Japan. I'm here with my friend Greg Sullivan, who is with the Japanese Center for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and we're talking about his wonderful work in contacting ETs. Greg, what kinds of future projects do you have in mind? Have you had planned for further contact here in Japan?
The first 5 years here has been a variety of different projects. You know, we've had the ongoing contact events as a main focus. We're hoping to. I've done a total of three books here. Two of them have been discussion type books, which are real popular here. It is an amazing thing to be able to get the things you want to say out in an actual book very so easily. But at the same time, we're hoping to get more involved. We haven't been online very much, our online presence on YouTube and blogging has been kind of lacking due to the fact that I'm out on the road quite a bit. So hopefully in the, this next year, we're really hoping to get a more of a focused program online, and also do a lot more instructional videos on YouTube. I actually was able to make a video simulation. We've taken a lot of footage in the field that we're editing through slowly. But also, I've done. I was inspired to make a video simulation of ET contact in software. So a friend of mine, who's I know a lot of video editors in the place I live. So we made a simulation video so that people who have had experiences but didn't recognize it, because there's a lot of subtle contact in the sky happening, whether it be cloud, you know, cloud ship type activity, or you know, other types of more subtle activity. You know, I tell people a lot of the light ship activity happens within the space of span of 1 second. So you could see a craft that flashes, and you just your mind filters it out as unnecessary information, perceptual information. So we've made a simulation that shows craft in the sky in the daytime, how they, you know, kind of sparkle in a, when they're coming out of a higher dimensional phase shift and into the physical time space, that there's often lights that go off around, you know, in the sky. They can be white and they can be light blue. Many people have seen these. We made a couple clips of that. We made a couple clips of them flashing from the mountains. Japan is, as you know, over 80% mountains. So a lot of the activity we hear have here is called ground lights phenomenon. So they'll come out of the. We've seen them posing as street lights and acting in some strange ways. We've seen them on mountainsides where there's no roads or hiking trails, and just very prominent flashing and pulsing happening. So those are kind of getting those out maybe into an app or something in the next year or so. It's going to be part of, you know, taking this to the next phase, to the next level.
Great, Greg. Thank you so much for sharing that, my friend. One thing I wanted to ask you about, I know on the U.S. West Coast, there's Mount Adams and Mount Shasta. And those, are, I'm told, Greg, are two energy vortexes into the, what's called the inner Earth. I know I've been down to James Gillian's wonderful UFO ranch in Trout Lake, Washington at Mount Adams, and I've actually seen the spacecraft at night flying in and out of the mountain. And what's fascinating, Greg, is that, as you know, that the craft itself, I'm told, go into other dimensions. They go, the hidden, the ocean beneath Mount Adams and Mount Shasta are both in another dimension. And when the spacecraft coming in and out, you'll see are these lights suddenly coming out of the mountain, flying in and out of the mountain. I wanted to ask you about Mount Fuji. I've heard that Mount Fuji is also another energy vortex here in Japan, but I don't know too much about it. Would you mind sharing that, please, with my many listeners?
Yes, I had definitely had a dream. I had a strange dream this year that I was inside of Mount Fuji. I could see the some people I've met here also, you know, definitely claim it's almost like an artificial structure. What we found actually is, you know, Mount Fuji is one of three holy mountains in Japan. The other two are a standing mountain, which is Mount Tateyama, and the other one is White Mountain, Hakusan it's called. So we were just there 2 weeks ago, and what we found is that Mount Fuji is, it's not only a vortex, it's on one of the lines where the two major plates collide, the North American plate and the Eurasian plate, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so there's a, what we had happen was that we in the Northern Alps of Japan, we've had a lot of contact in around that Tateyama, Mount Tate, Standing Mountain area. And we got the message that I would go there, and I kept seeing signs in Mount Fuji, and I'm saying, well, we're at the one of the most prime locations for contact to Japan. Why am I seeing Mount Fuji? And it happened 2 years in a row. And shortly after the second time that message came through, during the event we were visualizing connecting the three mountains together in a triangle, and it came through shortly after the second trip there that there was indeed a ley line going across diagonally through across the main island of Japan, cutting from the Japan Sea of Japan side down through the center, and then going through Mount Fuji. So it seems like that's a point of focus for our earthquake control as well. The ETs seem to be trying to keep the other earthquake activities controlled, and also the potential volcanic activity at Mount Fuji controlled. There was also a release of pressure via another smaller volcano. Unfortunately, a handful of hikers were killed at the time in Mount Ontake. There was a big eruption last year. Mm-hmm. That's actually called, it's the 52-degree line, it's called. There's an angle going through it. And we've, looking back, we've done several events along that line. One of them was at the very bottom this year. So once you start to, it's like a pointillistic approach. We're on the ground in a kind of limited perspective, but once you start to put the design together, you see the ET perspective where they're looking at it at a planetary level and a much larger, much wider perspective. But it's amazing to be involved with that on the ground side here. Yeah.
Well, one quick question I have to ask you, Greg. I've been I'm a psychic, been a psychic for a long time, and one thing very fortunate in being able to contact the Galactic Alliance, and they've stepped in. Of course, they were there last night. I psychically they came in. Have you had the same experience of contact, not only from seeing the ships, but also telepathically as well?
Yeah, you know, I definitely like to describe that process as a. I kind of feel like I went through that from step zero to 90 in a lot of ways, 0 to 60, almost in my case 0 to 90 to do this work. I think I was pretty intuitive to begin with, and being an engineer, that almost was like a preparation again for the kind of more contact with subtle energy. And for me, definitely, yeah, there's seeing the activity on the outside world is the first step, and then you start to get the subtle impressions visually and or kind of telepathically. Yeah, so I was very doubtful at first, very skeptical, and even when that information came in, I wouldn't throw it out, but I would kind of put it in the pending basket internally, so to speak. But with training and taking time to get more involved with meditation and everything, and accessing the kind of skills that I had been kind of through music and making music and those kind of things from my childhood. I think with the support of my guides and stuff, I think they kind of really opened me up quite quickly. I can remember specific times where there was like ringing in the ears and those kind of activation events right before Jay said he started when I was in New York there. I can remember some specific instances where those blocks or those abilities were kind of just reawakened. Some of them were even when I was sitting in Manhattan working. You know, it was pretty interesting. But I think that as you've mentioned in your lecture, I think everyone has the ability, and it takes a little bit of work at first to get that going. But the ETs, it's a shortcut to be working with the higher dimensional beings, and because they will they'll support you working on that, and they give you a push from behind. So it seems to be a process that includes. We have these, like the calcified pineal gland, and there's a lot of things that are keeping us down that are unnatural. So it is a natural process for us to awaken those abilities, and definitely the guides and the beings supporting that really step in. We've had a couple tours. One of our trips to Maui was guided by the ETs, and I was there with our small group, and it was like we showed up, hey, we're here, where do we go? And so that at times when it's really necessary, the telepathy, the guidance comes in very strong. And I was being told, I'm thinking to myself, is this where we're supposed to stop and do the work? And it's, no, not yet, keep going. And I could hear more of a direct guidance. That when it comes in, that navigation comes in very strong. And then there's a lot of other cross-confirmation between people in the field, when you're doing the field work. People who haven't spoken to each other, because we're out there doing the contact protocols, you'll go do a little bit of sharing time, debriefing, and then 2, 3, 4 people will say the same thing. They saw the same face, they saw the same symbol or whatever. So it becomes a more collective consciousness experience as well, for sure.
Wonderful, Greg. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because you lead groups in to see the craft here in Japan, but you do more than that. You're also in telepathic contact with many of these benevolent extraterrestrials. One thing I wanted to ask you too. I feel very fortunate myself as a psychic to have been in contact with Dr. Masaru Emoto, who passed away last year, who I consider one of the greatest spiritual men who's ever lived. Have you had the same experience in having Dr. Emoto contact you as well?
Well, definitely. I think that's how you and I really met. He brought this situation together. It was interesting. My learning in Japanese, the telepathic level, it's almost like it becomes on a cellular level at times, or a very subtle level where they're pushing slowly but surely from behind. So for me to learn Japanese was like a real pleasure. They make it very fun to do these things. So one of those inspirations that came through this winter was to do an interview with James Gilliland from eSETI on Skype, and I got the pressing kind of inkling to do that. As I mentioned, we had this big blank in our YouTube file time wise, so that ended up being a whole. Looking back now, that was Dr. Emoto setting up this whole scenario, and ended up he came through. The reason that happened was because instead of taking the time to translate the interview and do the subtitles, which takes a lot of manpower and time, I had asked one of the Dr. Emoto office employees to do a direct interpretation live, so to save us some time. And the night before the interview, I got the she was listening to me tell her about our experiences at Mount Adams, and she was getting really excited, and I got this impression that the next day was going to be something big happening. And mm-hmm. as I went to bed, I was thinking, is that I almost think I felt, the presence of Dr. Emoto. It just kind of came out of nowhere. The thought came out of the blue. The next day, as we started the interview, all of us were feeling a major presence. And then finally, between the first and second hour, we took a break, and I just had to say it. And James Gilliland obviously is a very sensitive guy, and he caught that right away as well. Indeed, Dr. Emoto was coming in, and I got some impressions that were later confirmed as well. But James was able to get more of a direct message, and then that ended up tying into us meeting in Tokyo. Yeah, so this year has been a surprise. When you're doing the contact in the field, the ETs can be pretty shy at first sometimes. Sure. So it feels like you're taking shots in the dark at times, but then you slowly start to get feedback and response. But this time, this year, our project going here, we had several projects or meetings that were designed and intended out of our control in a good way. They were set up from HD, higher dimensions. So that tied into everything that's happening this week. And so it's a pleasure to meet you, and we're real happy to have gotten to know the folks at the Emoto office too. They're great people.
Well, thank you so much, Greg, for sharing that. One thing I always think about the future, Greg, and where are we going to, and where is this all going to lead to? And I'd love your take on your opinion on where do you think we'll be in 5 or 10 years?
Yes, I think hopefully, like the experience we just had last night, where people in their ability to manifest and not doubt themselves is going to be becoming more and more. This access to this new wave of consciousness, new universal consciousness, is going to be so both profound and smooth at the same time that a lot of the problems that are blocking us from really progressing more quickly will be dissolving right in front of our eyes. So,
friends, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine named Orion. He does wonderful computer work. I've hired him myself to do work, and I've been very pleased with everything he does. His website is OrionTechWorks.com. That's OrionTechWorks.com. And Orion, are you there?
I'm right here, buddy.
Okay, great, great. Could you tell my listeners, please, a little bit about the work you do?
Well, I've been basically involved in the computer field since about 1962, actually. I had the first commercial personal computer that was ever sold in America. It was actually sold by Sears Christmas catalog in the 1962 edition. It was virtually a wooden box with some IBM punch cards and some copper rods. You really couldn't do much with it. But it started my my computer career. And so since then, I've been involved in all kinds of different platforms. In the early 80s, when personal computers came out, I actually programmed the first color joystick drawing program that was available, and wrote CAD/CAM software, wrote a lot of database software. When color PCs came into the PC world, you know, the IBM PC world, I jumped on the platform as soon as we came up to 32,000 colors available, which is basically you can do.
Wow. Wonderful, Ryan. Well, I wanted to tell people briefly that Ryan's done work for me. I used to have Windows 8.1 operating system. I had all kinds of problems with it, and Ryan was able to take it off and replace it with a wonderful new Linux operating system that's very stable, and I have no problems with that whatsoever. But your email is ted@OrionTechWorks.com, and your telephone number is 541-633-7340.
And that's correct.
And I just want to say that you do wonderful work, and I highly recommend you.
And you can give me my Skype ID, too. For the people that are on Skype, you can get a hold of me at orion.m1.
All right, orion.m1. Well, Orion, thank you so much for coming on today. And I know that I want everyone, if you have a computer problem or a software issue, please contact Orion. He'll give you some great help.
Yeah, just email me or call me, and we can take it from there.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan, for coming, taking your time today.
Oh, thanks, Ted, and keep up your good work, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hello, friends. I'm so sorry. We lost connections there on Skype. Skype works well most of the time, but every once in a while we have a little computer glitch, and we just lost you there. But I hope you can hear us now. We've got we're just wrapping up a wonderful interview with Greg Sullivan, who's the head of the Japanese Center for Extraterrestrial Intelligence here in Japan. And we're broadcasting live today from Nagoya, Japan, a beautiful city in Japan. Actually, I wanted to share this with everyone. When I was a small boy between the ages of 2 and 5, I actually lived in Osaka. My parents, my dad was in the military, and so I actually do have memories of Japan when I was living here. So this is kind of an interesting place to come back to, kind of like a second home for me. But Greg, we were talking about the future of humanity, and what do you see for the future in terms of extraterrestrial contact? So I'd love to have you continue on that.
Well, sure. Thank you, Ted. Yeah, so I was just saying that, you know, I tell a lot of people we're moving from an information-based consciousness shift to an experience-based consciousness shift. That has to be the ultimate key to real change. You know, it's the information primer for the experience, and you know, this the revelation of not only the ET presence, but its relation to our ancient history and all the stuff that all the implications of that is a worldview shifting fact truth, and it's a cosmology shifting fact for us collectively. So that psychological process has been a slow one with a lot of the people in the light worker community and ascension community, ET contact community, doing a lot of work for a long time. But as that's now filtering down into the general public, you know, just we had that experience last night. A good friend of mine who had been in with my awakening in real time, kind of pretty much doubting me the entire half, more than half doubting me the entire way. You know, we were good friends from home, so he didn't have to believe me to stay my friend or whatever. But last night he had his own experience, and something clicked over. So, and these experiences, these awakenings, can happen in a split second. I've seen the real hardcore skeptics in our field work, or someone who just doesn't quite get it. They've been to several events and never had that one experience, and it can happen in a split second. It can happen while you're walking from one place to another. It can happen when you walk right out of work and look up, you know, just unconsciously look up at the sky as you're opening the car door. You know, I mean, We've had just every kind of transformational experience, kind of test of one you can imagine. But as a whole, I think everyone might start to realize and agree that a lot of the information that's been out there, it's a strong base, it's a stairway to the experience, but we're all going to be, it's a consciousness shift that everyone has to experience individually. So, and then once that shift starts to really start to anchor in and ground in, all of the changes that might seem like an impossibility right now are going to be really, that's going to be the real paradigm shift or the real sea change that'll help that all become and shift into manifest into reality.
And I also want to stress too, Greg, that, and to my many listeners around the world, that that the benevolent extraterrestrials are here to help us. I think that's safe to say, certainly. But not all extraterrestrials are created the same, are they? There are some good ones and there are some bad ones out there. Could you tell me a little bit about your experience with that?
Sure. Definitely, I had a lot of that so-called information base to begin with, and I'd like to put this all into a more complete story in English as well at some point in the next few years. But I can definitely say, I went from 0 to 90 there, getting thrown into the deep end of not only strongly guided with benevolent contact for sure from the get-go, but having to break through, and part of my mission here is an awakened starseed with a stewardship mission, a stewardship contract to lead a group that's nationwide in Japan, and not only doing the events itself, but also interacting with groups that have a lot of maybe negative entity possession around the teacher, or getting thrown into all sorts of kind of cleanup situations. I definitely quickly learned that there are a lot of lower astral entities that play tricks and games, and also in there, beings that might be confused to be ETs, or even full blown negative ET contact, which is real. I can see that's shut down so many efforts in the past. You have to be very you have to be very at times discerning. I've been thrown into a lot of situations. This is like Japan is a microcosm of the whole world here, and the fact that you can get to meet some pretty high placed people very easily. So I've definitely been in situations with company presidents or high media higher ups who aren't aware of the kind of beings that they're working with or attached to, and those beings step in and try and screw up what we're doing. So definitely had some pretty gnarly experiences and tests and infiltration attempts and this and that along the way. It's been all along that's not to say I was ever fearful. I knew it was part of the job, and had to get down here and get our hands dirty. So using clearing techniques always staying discerning, and I learned very quickly an energetic discernment. So one element of Japan is people have the jujitsu here. It's talk about ki, and chi, as from the Hado school. So a lot of people here abuse subtle energy and that kind of thing. That was also a doorway to understanding a lot of the kind of ritual things that have been abused over the years. So it's it's a quite an interesting, as we open up to benevolent contact and higher dimensional energy, we're also all at the same time uncovering a long history of the fourth dimensional astral energy that's been used and abused in all sorts of ways, and the beings that are in those areas too that are being kind of re-educated right now.
One thing I want to share with you, Greg, and also with my many listeners around the world, tomorrow I'm scheduled to meet a fascinating man here in Japan. He's a healer, and he received his training to be a healer aboard a Galactic Alliance spacecraft several years ago. He was living in Victoria, Canada with his wife and family, and he was contacted there, and they trained him on how to remove alien implants. Many of the people on this planet have been negatively affected by the reptilians and the U.S. government's involvement with the reptilian race. And many people here on the planet have got these awful negative implants in them, but he specializes in removing these implants. And I'll be having him on the show 1 week from today. He'll describe his experiences in going aboard a Galactica Alliance spacecraft, being trained by scientists and medical doctors aboard the craft to remove these implants. He's a fascinating person, and I'm scheduled to meet with him tomorrow. And I'll pre-record the interview, but that'll be really out of this world. So I know that, Greg, you've been doing such wonderful work in raising people's consciousness as to and the fact that we are, in fact, not alone in this universe. And I think that if you just look up in the sky some night on a clear sky without clouds, that if you look carefully, you will see craft flying around. Could you explain maybe a little bit about when you were at the James Gillian's ranch, how you saw a spacecraft power up right on top of you?
Yes, definitely. My first real experience was at James's Ranch in 2008, I believe. Ever since then, we've had the great pleasure to actually have a tour abroad from Japan there, and everyone over there. He said he's been real helpful in facilitating that, we've had several what they like to call power-ups. You know, the light ships are kind of like in an energy form as they're visible to the naked eye and they're moving, and they'll respond intelligently to laser illuminators, or other kinds of signaling from the ground. So one really nice power-up story from our last tour, which was on at the end of September, a fantastic event where we had we were there under the super blood moon and the full moon lunar eclipse as well, just in the evening, and we had about 50 people there for a workshop, and it was our last tour there. So there was because of the full moon up until that point was quite bright, so the stars were a little washed out, but that doesn't stop the contact happening. But especially we had one treat where for about 40 minutes during the actual eclipse, the sky was very dark because of the lack of moonlight, and at that time we had Yasu Nimoto, as you mentioned, Dr. Nimoto's right-hand man in the scientific arm of the Emoto Project, and he got to see a major power-up, which we later confirmed that was Dr. Emoto. He was on the ship, so he came right over, and I could tell it was going to go, and I was signaling with laser, and I said, this one's going to power up, and he just gave us this huge flare. And then that's something that you'd never see a satellite do, really.
That's incredible, Greg. Thank you so much for sharing that. We've only got less than a minute now, and Greg, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. Please stay tuned for our next guest, Ariana, who's been in touch with Benevolent Extraterrestrials. Greg, I'd like to give you 30 seconds left in the first hour here to wrap up your wonderful interview.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Great to talk to you today. People can feel free to check us out on our just a limited amount of stuff online. Again, we have a YouTube channel under JCETI, JSETI. Our site is jceti.org, and people can read about my story in a book, a collective book that was edited by Jeff Becker of Indiana, and that's called Paths to Contact, and that has several amazing stories in there. And my chapter called The Road to J-City, A Return to Japan, is in there as well. So, but we're hoping to check out, get a lot more reports out from Japan in real time, and some more night vision videos and everything like that. So I'll be hold up this winter editing those so people can look for that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on today, Greg, and please stay tuned, my friends, for our next hour with Ariana, who's been in touch with Benevolent Extraterrestrials.